General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushbelts of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Major Robert Foran is one of those persons to whom adventure is the breath of life. And in the course of a varied career, he has been soldier, journalist, and policeman. The lure of the wild has taken him to India, the Rockies, Mexico, and Africa. And he is one of those fortunate old-timers who knew East Africa in its palmy days, when wildlife in bewildering variety swarmed everywhere. Foran was never just a killer of animals. He was in his prime a very fine hunter, and for long his able pen has been wielded more and more in the defense of what is left of Africa's splendid fauna, to safeguard for posterity a priceless heritage which rapacious man is so wantonly squandering. Tonight's safari took place more than half a century ago. The setting is the erstwhile Belgian Lado enclave. The year, 1910. Foran was a very young but vastly experienced ivory hunter. I have called his story Vigil at Lado Salt Lick. Foran, in company with another man whom we shall call Westbury, had contacted a large herd of elephant. They shot four heavily tusked bulls out of it when the rest of the herd lost no time in making themselves scarce. Foran's intention was to cross the Nile into Uganda and sell the ivory to a Greek or Asian trader. The hunters left Hamisi and a gang of porters with the stricken bulls, having arranged a rendezvous for a week later. It was nearing sunset when the Major realized he'd lost his way. At such a late hour, it was futile to try and regain the correct path.
Best thing, I think. Bivouac here, Louis. No sign of the Bally porters yet.
How many did you arrange to follow?
18, leaving 24 with Hamisi and the bulls. Abdullah!
Buona, Major.
What the devil's happened to Muganda and his gang?
Buona, I think when the dark began to come, they sat down. They will be afraid now. They shall not join us before tomorrow's night.
Westbury.
Yeah?
They've got our blasted tents and bedding. Perishing things are started. Sorry, Louis. All I can promise is a miserable night.
We'll manage. What's happened at Khartoum?
We're not through with this night yet.
Well, we better make the best we can of it.
First of the forest heavy chaps.
Hippo, leave us alone, Robert.
Fire, Abdullah. Might as well be warm anyway.
Abdullah collected sticks. Abdullah made the fire blaze at the base of a giant tree. The flames appeared pale, almost invisible in the fading sunlight, while thin vapors of smoke danced frenziedly about them. Foran and Westbury walked down towards the stream. The clamor of the sunset hour. Back at the fire, Abdullah dozed, dreaming of food, and occasionally plucking leeches from his bleeding legs, and thoughtfully cutting them into small pieces with a wicked knife. There was a piece of salt. Abdullah forgot about food and leeches. He made the highest branches of the highest trees in a minute. The white men had further to run. Westbury was the swifter of the two. Foran was too late. His path was suddenly blocked. Two long and gleaming tusks, a trunk held menacingly aloft.
Robert!
The enormous bulk of a dingy, slate-grey and crinkled hide. Foran dodged behind the bole of Westbury's tree. Again the elephant charged the fire. And Foran swung himself aloft. The burning logs were scattered far and wide. The dropped pipe of Foran and the tobacco pouch were kneaded far into the soft forest floor. And then the large bull whirled and clumsily lumbered off, still screaming.
Better be ready to get up there again. They might return. Abdullah?
How is it possible to understand such anger?
Yes, I made a mess of the fire. And my pipe.
Oh, where are the matches? Better get the fire going again.
Wait. Brutes might be back. I'm not spending the night making fires for them to trample on.
The sun went down in a blaze of glory, and the night set in. A dark night, impenetrable. There was no...
But matches? Well, please don't ask me. I only remember having the one box. The rest were with the porters. Ah, porters.
Yeah. Mothers that bore them as well.
Yes, I'd give anything a whale for... Pull up my bra. Blasted insects. I left the matches with my pipe.
Robert, those matches are lost forever.
Yes, I'm well aware of that. Well, where do you let me spend the night?
Trees?
Huh? You're welcome. Days often fall out, and besides breaking your neck, heaven knows what you might fall on.
Fire by friction. Shouldn't take long, huh?
Yes, if you wish. You might raise a puff of smoke by dawn.
Westbury chose a high tree in which to spend the night, whilst Robert Foran stretched himself upon the worn earth between the huge and stout buttress roots of a large tree.
Pretty protected on either flank. Hips a bit exposed, though. Roots will protect me. Still, not too happy about the business. Better than Westbury, though. Bally fool. Not off, fall out, break his... Tired. What the devil's biting?
The moon rose, silvern in ethereal light. It flooded the clearing and surrounding forest with a soft radiance, lending a ghostly and mysterious aspect to the immediate environment. The moonlight peopled the clearing with fantastic shapes and shadows. Foran dozed, and the moon was at its most brilliant. Elephants. Nighttime feeding. Hippo. Water splashed over heated bodies. No danger. No real danger for the man in the roots of the great tree. No real danger. The animals of day become the animals of night. The water ritual. No danger, not yet. The man in the tree roots is bitten by all the ants and crawling things of Africa. He dozes fitfully and awakens and dozes again. The clearing becomes the favored salt lick of the Africa animal kingdom, and the insects bite the intruder like mad dogs. The sandflies come, and the mosquitoes come. The artillery and the infantry, and the major scratches and slaps. And curses the porters who are afraid of the night. He cradles the 350 Rigby Mauser in his arms, and waits for the dawn, which seems a million light years away, in an Africa which has never been as venomous before. It was an hour before dawn that The danger came.
Will you let me get up, man?
I shall go for the Bonne Whispering. Stay well, Bonne. I will search. Then I shall prepare Buffalo with no fire.
Whispering. Where the devil? Oh, blasted leg. Try to stand. So dusty.
Adela! Louis! Buona Whispering is gone, Buona.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
I mean that Buona Whispering is not here, Buona.
Oh, don't be so confoundedly impudent. I'm sorry, Adela. I didn't mean her.
Please sit down, Buona. I shall prepare.
You can't just sit down and eat while Louis... Abdullah, you were in the trees last night.
Buona, I'm but a cook. I realize I should have come to my master's aid, but...
Never mind that. You were in a tree, right?
Yes, Buona.
Where?
When you said, Buona, that you were going to sleep upon the ground, and I knew that it would be impertinence to suggest you climb a tree, I went in search of a bed in the tops of the trees. And Buona Westbury did the same, Buona. And now, please, sit down. Your leg is...
Never mind about my blasted leg. Westbury climbed a tree as well. Near yours?
I found a suitable tree for the Buona, and he climbed into it.
Then take me there.
I've already looked into that tree, Buona. He's not there.
I know that, you numbskull, but take me there just the same.
The unhappy native, secure in the knowledge that somehow he had transgressed in 100 ways, led Furan to Westbury's tree. He led him through the forest. Life moved upon the face of its surface, also upon the treetops warmed by sunshine and occasionally lashed by torrential tropical rains. But they saw it not. The creatures of the forest, away from the clearing, were free from mankind's idle curiosity, wanton persecution, and even reverent appreciation of their marvels. Furan followed the native, the pain in his thigh intense. He was dizzy from thirst and hunger, and ashamed of having thought only of food and not of his friend upon waking. They arrived at Westbury's tree.
This is the tree, Buona.
And he climbed?
Yes.
You saw him?
Although it was dark, Buona, I selected the tree for Buona Westbury. There. See? There is a fork. It would have been most comfortable for him, I said.
And where the devil...
Westbury! Louis!
Get back to the clearing. Cook us up something, Abdullah. Shout when it's ready. Shout loud. Until then, I'm going to look for Buona Westbury.
But Buona...
I'll be all right. I've got 350 and my knife... That should be enough.
You are weak, Buona.
Then I'll be strong the quicker you prepare something for us to eat, Abdullah. I'm back now. Be quick. We'll eat and then we'll look for Buona Westbury together. Get water from the stream. Boil it if you can make fire. You'll have to use sticks and dry leaves. It'll take some time, I know. But you can make the fire more quickly than I can.
That I know, Buona.
Get back then. Before the jackals find the bull.
Yes, Buona.
And Abdullah?
Yes, Buona.
You're a cook, not a hunter. I don't blame you for not coming to me in the night.
But I have nothing, Buona. I am a cook. Still, I would have come to you. But there was nothing I heard.
All right. Do your best with the meat, Abdullah. And call when you've prepared it. I'll hear. Voices carry a long way in this stillness.
The scenery was wild, savage. So, too, were the beasts dwelling within this forest. No sound shattered the intense stillness, save the birds that sang as they'd always sang, long, long before the first great-grandfather of Furan saw light of day, before first man found fire. There was no sign of Whispery, no trace of Whispery. Furan held to 350 ready, his eyes and senses alert for the smallest trace. He had averted personal tragedy in the night, but it seemed tragedy had struck from another direction, in another place.
Whispery. Nothing. Where could he?
The pain went from the army man's leg. He trod virgin forest, seldom touched by the feet or hands of man, an age-old habitat of wild beasts.
He had his gun. He had the 2.56 Mannlicher. Nothing had ever parted him from that. But why? Last night, he must have heard something. The bulls snorting. Something. If he was still here when the beast attacked me. I thought near dawn that I'd eat part of that thing when it was trying to dig me out.
It was a great feat, Bwana. The killing of the buffalo bull with a knife.
A great feat. Yes. Now we have to accomplish another great feat. We must find Bwana Westbury.
If it is possible, we shall find him.
They entered the forest again as the sun rose higher in the sky. Over all brooded a mystic, almost menacing silence, which was so intense as to be almost unearthly. But there is no real ending to their search, for they found nothing. No trace of the hunter who had passed the night in the trees. Or had he slept above the earth? What happened to him? Furan's strength gave out towards noon, and he fell without a word upon the forest floor. Abdullah carried him almost gratefully back to the clearing, and in the early afternoon the porters with Hamisi, the gun-bearer, arrived. The trip back to civilization was undertaken. The ivory Furan prized so highly was abandoned. The search for Louis Westbury was abandoned too, and the mystery of his disappearance was never solved. The remainder of the buffalo carcass was scattered by jackals and hyenas and vultures. The skull whitened, and in time became part of the forest floor. And deeper in the silence of the trees, somewhere where it is always dim at light, we can only suppose a 2.56 Mannlicher Schonauer rusted and decayed. Tonight's safari came from A Hunter's Saga by Major Robert Furan. Self-taught, his vast store of knowledge has been acquired in the hard way, by a process of trial and error, and in his own words, there is no better instructor than experience. But probably nothing on earth will ever persuade him to spend another night near a saltlick. The other day, I came across something Schopenhauer is reported to have said. There is only one untruthful creature on earth, and that is man. All the others are honest and upright in that they openly declare their nature and do not simulate emotions they do not feel.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, It Might Be Fiction in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.